Did he die for nothing? So yes, I know we feel bad when we make mistakes and when we do wrong. But if you're going to be able to fight against the enemy and fight against this society and this world, you can't go around like this. There's no power in that. There's no power in that. And when your kids see you, they're like, "Pff, Mom." No wonder they talk back at you. No wonder, because what? You're like a little serve the Lord, honey. Serve the Lord. God will make a way. We're so weak. What child would want to follow that? We have no power. We're not operating in faith. We're not seeing miracles. And the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A child looking at you like that, they're like, "Gosh, Mom, wake up." Look, I'm going to tell you, it's so funny. My middle son, I was like, "I don't know if I can stay in ministry. I don't know if I don't think that I can stay in ministry. So much is happening." And my middle son said, "Mom, what's wrong with you?" He said, like, "Mom, you're going to give up ministry because of what we did?" He said, "Are you serious? The way God's using you, what's wrong with you?" He did. He said, "What's wrong with you?" I can't go on if this is what's going to be happening. You know, this. "Mom, I can't believe you. Mom, go to this site. I want you to listen to this message." I'm not lying. That's what he said to me. That's what he said to me. I was walking so defeated at that point. Now, how often do we do that as parents? And we don't even realize the message that we're sending to our children. If you've been under a load of guilt, get over it today, right now, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. And even though you are perfect in his sight, you're in process. You're going to make mistakes. And the whole thing about if you had been perfect and if you hadn't messed up or made a mistake, your child would turn out right. Well, what about God with Adam and Eve? Was he not perfect? And what did Adam and Eve do anyway? And then think about Judas. Judas walked with Jesus for 3 years. What happened to Judas? That's a lie. And we need to stop believing the lies and what Satan says and start believing the word of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So Proverbs, "If I had did right, they would be. If I had did right, they would be." No. It's a lie. God was perfect. Adam and Eve went on and did it anyway, right? All right. We're a work in process. And the thing is, you know how I pray, and maybe you can pray this. I always pray, William and I pray together, "Lord, make up for where we lack. Lord, I ask you to cover our children in the mistakes that we have made against them. Please, Lord, bring someone else to help them where we have damaged them or hurt them in some way." So you pray that, and you pray that believing that God will bring someone along to make up for where you're weak at, because you're not where you need to be right now. Does everybody understand that? But walking around like, it's not helping. It's not helping you or them, and you're really not doing kingdom work when you have that mindset. Okay. In 1 John 1, 8 to 9, it says, "If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins," again, what? "If we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." It doesn't matter what you've done. You can be forgiven today. Let's look at the next sin of shame. Now, when you have shame with your children, it's because there's disgrace or dishonor. It's a painful feeling caused by injury to one's pride or self-esteem. You know what is so wrong today? Is when people put their chest out and they're, "Oh yeah, my little Susie just went on 2 missionary trips. And my little Johnny, oh yeah, he's on the honor roll." We just go around and we just have so much pride as if it's really all us, that the kids are doing so good because it's really all us. We're in control. And then when they get older and they start having their own mindset and do different things, then we're full of shame and guilt. "I can't believe, whose child is that? Whose child is that? That's not my little baby. That's not the one that used to change their diapers. What happened to that child? Who is that child? Who brought that child in this house? And then we feel all this shame. You know what I mean? Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 5, and then verse 9 to 11, and then verse 13 says, suppose a certain man is righteous and does what is just and right. And now, I've taken parts out of the scripture. So when you see the dots, there's more scripture, but I just want to at least read the main part. Suppose a certain man is righteous and does what is just and right and faithfully obeys my decrees and regulations. Anyone who does these things is just and lives and will surely live, says the sovereign Lord. But suppose that man has a son who grows up to be a robber or a murderer and refuses to do what's right. This is God talking to us. So you can be righteous, and what is this letting us know? You can have a child that turns out totally different from you. Do you see that? But suppose that man has a son who grows up to be a robber or murderer and refuses to do what is right. And that son does all the evil things his father would never do. He must die and must take full blame. Who is to take the blame for their behavior? The son. Do you see that? I hope you're getting relief from that this morning. In that you can live righteous. You might do all the right things. Let me tell you, when I got pregnant and I started off with Andre and then the rest of my, I read all these books. I did all this stuff that you're supposed to do. I made sure, even like I had like little schedules and I just wanted to try to do all the right things. And then even when we were told when they got older, don't let them participate in Halloween and don't let them be a part of the sex classes at school because they're taking bananas and they're using and covering the bananas. And I was like, oh, not my children. I can't have my children involved in that. So William and I did our sex education at home, and our sons right now bust on William and I because they remember. We took them on a camping trip, and this was the talk. This was the talk. So Andre could tell you, William had the two older boys in the trailer. We went camping, so they were in the trailer, and I took the real little one, Arlen, and Arlen and I went golfing and stuff while Dad had the talk. You know, we tried our best to protect our sons from everything. But do you know what we don't believe as parents sometimes? We don't believe the word of God when it says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't believe the Bible when it says a child is born in iniquity and has that sinful nature. I remember one time I was teaching. And when I shared that scripture about a child born in iniquity, born with a sinful nature, one woman said, she met me after the session, she said, Paula, I don't believe that. Children are so tender and cute and careful. Why would you say that about a child? And I said, have you ever been around any lately? You don't have to teach them to say, mine, mine. And you don't have to teach them how to lie. You don't have to teach them how to do nothing. I remember I was babysitting, and you see my grandchildren. Aiden is the youngest, and he cracks me up. One time, I was watching, it was just Aiden and I, and I couldn't find Aiden. I was running all around. Oh, my God, where's Aiden? Where's Aiden? I ran out in the street. I was like, Aiden, Aiden, Aiden. I came back in the house. I was like, oh, God, if something happened to him, oh, my God, Lord, where's Aiden? Where's Aiden? Well, I was praying. I was almost on the verge of tears. Then the closet door just starts sliding open. And here comes Aiden out, all his chocolate all over his mouth. And at first, I was relieved. But then I was like, Aiden, what did you do? Like, what? What's the issue? There's no problem here. I said, Aiden, the next time you want chocolate, you tell my mom. Right. Don't you sneak. Don't you sneak. But nobody taught him how to do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have to understand, you can do whatever you can try to do to protect them from society. You can do everything right as a parent, but they have iniquity in their heart, just like we do. And so for you to take the guilt and the shame because they have chosen to go a separate way is wrong. But that's what the enemy wants you to do, because he doesn't want you effective for the kingdom. He doesn't want you being strong so that maybe when that child comes back to his senses, you're there to help them get on the right track. If you're crazy and your child goes crazy, you're both crazy. All right, Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. You know our issue with shame? We're prideful. We want to be able to say we did everything right, and we want our children to make us look good. And when our children don't make us look good, we have shame. So right now, if you've been suffering with shame, I want you to understand the heart issue. The heart issue is that you're operating in pride. Another thing, Proverbs 18:12. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. So if you're under a lot of shame, it's because you're operating in pride. You want to be able to stick your chest out and say, my little Johnny and my little Sally and this and that. And it's nothing wrong. We do as parents. We want to be able to boast about our children in the right way. But if they're not right now doing what you want them to do, don't say, you're disgusting to me. I can't believe you're doing this. Do you know how the position I have in the church and what I'm doing? There's a story about I don't have it here, but anyway, I can't recall his name right now. He tells the story of two pastors, and then we're going to have a break. He tells the story of two pastors whose daughters got pregnant out of wedlock. The one pastor, when the daughter came and she acknowledged to him that she was pregnant, he just destroyed her character. How could you do that? Do you know what this means? I can't believe it. And he just went down one side up the other of her and told her to get out. I don't want to see you again. So he was able to get in front of the other Christians at church and say, I told her. I stood up against her. I let her know what was right or wrong. But then there was another pastor, and his daughter got pregnant out of wedlock. And he stood before his congregation, and he told them what had happened. And he said, we're not proud of what took place with our daughter, but we want you to know that we love our daughter and that we're standing with our daughter. And if that means that we no longer can serve here, then so be it. But we are going to stay and stick beside our daughter. Which child do you think turned out going into missionary work? These are true stories. So you know what? Even if you do have feelings of shame, take them before the Lord. Don't degrade the child anymore. The child knows what you taught them or how you tried to live before them. Don't heap shame on them, because what you're doing is you're not helping, and you're not going to get what you want by that type of behavior. All right, let's take a 15-minute break and come back, and we'll deal with more things.